Hey everybody, and welcome back to the EV Cafe Takeaway Podcast. Normally I go into a big long spiel, but I'd just like to say welcome to Matt Cleaveley. Woohoo!
Welcome, thank you very much for having me on, guys.
Hey, it's our pleasure. As everyone can see, I'm always joined by one of the EV Cafe team as well, just to, you know, to do the pincer movement so we can get the killer questions in. And this time I'm joined by the lovely John Curtis. John, welcome to you as well.
I've never come up with a killer question in my life. I'm just a big fluffy teddy bear.
Well, get working on it. Let's get that knife sharpened. Matt, we're really excited to have you on board. Obviously, this is off the back of our Christmas Crackers award, and you got a wonderful award. You can show the prize.
My prize here.
You could.
Here it is.
There's one of. Yes, he's got the EV Cafe mug.
I have the EV Cafe mug, the EV Cafe sweets.
Yes.
And the EV Cafe lip balm.
Lip salve.
Yeah. So, yeah.
There you go.
Keeping me.
Oh,
yeah.
He's modelling it for us, everyone. That's fabulous.
That'll help me get through this next bit with you, guys. My lips
Indeed.
Are refreshed. My throat's refreshed, so...
There you go. And evidence, if anyone needed, what a good sport Matt is. Matt, you are a real industry personality, if you don't mind me saying. You have been really instrumental, I think, in building up people's insight and knowledge, not just because of you, but because of your whole family. This is a family affair. Tell us about Cleaveley Motors. Give us a little bit of a background about Cleaveley Motors, who Matt Cleaveley is, and a picture of what you're doing and what your vision is for your business and your family.
Okay, so thank you very much for the compliment, and I do take it as a huge compliment. Winding back time, I'll start with, my wife and I had put solar on our house probably about 17 years ago. So I've always had this kind of passion for renewable technologies. I worked in the family business from 1999 when I was a fresh-faced, newly qualified apprentice. And I didn't do my training in the family business, but joined them in 1999 and grew up fixing cars. That I love fixing things. That's what I like to do. So when I continued to qualify myself and I become a master technician, I looked to what's the next generation of the family business going to do, but also what's the next generation of cars going to be like, and what can I continue to qualify myself in? So I got qualified. I was actually the first independent technician to be qualified to level 4 EV and hybrid in 2017, it was. Late 2017. So I looked and thought, well, what can I do about that? So early 2017, we bought a Nissan Leaf. My wife, Claire, was a stay-at-home mum at that point. We could charge it off the solar, drive it around for nothing. Thought, this is brilliant. But we had a horrendous buying experience with a main dealer. They didn't want to sell the car. They didn't understand the car. And every time I went to go and view it locally, there was a different excuse. The battery's flat, the charger doesn't work, blah, 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 blah. All of that nonsense and rubbish that still, unfortunately, hasn't improved. And I thought, there needs to be a business here that promotes EV adoption. Now, I'm a lowly mechanic. Who's going to listen to me? But what I can do is I can offer to fix cars because I'm qualified to, and I want to understand more for my own personal development, professional development, how I can learn to fix these vehicles, therefore keeping them on the road. So we set about in 2018 creating a sister business to Cleaveley Motors that has existed since 1962, that has been generational. My grandfather started it. When I joined in 99, my dad and my uncle and my auntie were in the business. It was four of us. Since then, Claire has joined the business. She's been with it for over a decade. That's my wife. And 2018, Cleaveley EV came along to run alongside to promote EV adoption, and not only from the repair side of things, but I thought, well, one, if there's this negativity about selling EVs within the industry, then we want to be able to sell them too. as a knowledgeable business. So for the first time ever, the Cleavely name was associated with selling secondhand cars. That in itself has gone from strength to strength. So today we've got a sales team of two with a separate 4,000 square foot EV indoor showroom selling used EVs, and more than just selling them, promoting the adoption of them and educating people how they fit in with their life, with the charging, with public infrastructure, but with the reassurance of a highly qualified and experienced workshop next door. So Cleavely Motors has grown and expanded from four people to, there's 15 of us here today within Motors. Motors has 10 technicians, two of which are our apprentices, but everyone, we don't have specific EV bays. We're taking out the negativity, the scared bit that comes with working on high voltage, and our workshop is agnostic of fuel type. So we work on petrols and diesels and EVs and hybrids, BEVs, whatever it is, all come through our workshop. And I've got a very dedicated team of technicians that really understand what they're doing and will repair to a modular level. So we do everything possible to keep the repairs as economical as possible, to keep EVs on the road. And that was my goal and my mission, both publicly, which is why we've attended and where we met at Fully Charged, formerly known as Fully Charged, Everything Electric, and the events that we do, because yes, it's quite unusual for a business to promote itself, and you won't find another workshop at an event like that, but we're more than just a workshop. We are an EV promotional group now.
If you operate a fleet of cars or vans, you'll know electric is the future. Transitioning to EVs can appear daunting, but with Europcar, it's effortless. Our long-term EV rentals eliminate the upfront costs, contract commitments, and uncertainty. Instead, you'll get total flexibility, a wide choice of cars and vans, and Europcar's expert support. So, make the switch without the stress and experience Europcarma. Search Europcar Business.
Matt, why do you care? Why does it matter to you? Because it would be so easy to have trained as a technician to continue to do petrol, diesel, hybrid, and EV as part of the mix. But you've gone beyond that. You've become a champion of EV. Why bother? Just continue to use them. They're just all vehicles. Why does it matter so much?
So from one side of things, it matters that what is the next generation of vehicles on the road, and how do I keep that legacy of a generational family business going? So initially it was, what's next for Cleavely Motors as a cross-generational car repair workshop? And I think when I do presentations to the trade as well, so I'll go and talk in front of whoever will listen in the industry, our industry is shifting towards zero emissions because of mandates and things, but it's shifting towards electrification, however that is, as a fuel type. So it's important for us to have our finger on the pulse as a business and to be prepared and educated and trained to work on any car that comes into our workshop. Because it is a cross-generational workshop as well, we are very fortunate that we have very loyal customer base that will bring, so we'll see three generations of customers coming to us. The granddad brought his car to my granddad, and his kids have brought, so it goes on, and we're seeing that coming through. And I don't want to say to any of my customers who I've dealt with for the last 25 years or so, we can't look after your car for you any longer. And there'll be a lot of garages up and down the country that are in the position where they have to say, we don't do electrified cars. We can't look after your car. And the danger for them behind that is they won't only just lose the EV vehicle in the family. If that customer will find a garage that will look after, like ours, that will look after all of the vehicles. And if they do a good enough job, they'll get all of the vehicles in that family. And that garage then will struggle to retain customers and therefore exist. The second prong of the attack is I have my kids are 16 now. I want them to grow up in a world where we aren't wrecking the climate and we aren't damaging the ozone layer and we are reducing our reliance on fossil fuels. So I'm hugely passionate, as I said at the start, about renewable technologies, more than solar on our house. And we got solar on the workshop here as well. I'm prepared to put my money where my mouth is. And so our house has, it's just had an air source heat pump fitted. So we've got no gas in our house at all. We've got 4.8 kilowatts of solar. We've got a Tesla power wall. I've got rainwater harvesting. So I'm doing everything in my personal life as well as my my job life as to make our lives as renewable and sustainable as possible. So it's important.
So the next generation, are they embracing this way of working and this way of thinking, or are you one of those parents who says, you know, you don't have to follow in my footsteps, there's been three generations, go do your own thing?
So we're kind of at that point now where my daughters are taking their GCSEs. They're starting to show an interest in the business, but they aren't necessarily worried about fixing cars, and that is perfectly fine. The automotive industry has changed a huge amount since I started. It was a very male-dominated place to be, where blokes fixed cars and women sat behind a desk and took money off people. Well, that's not necessarily the case anymore. And a garage that of our size has become sort of very multifaceted now. So one of my daughters is taking a photography GCSE, and she would like to go into photography and media. So we have a social media team already, and for her to come in and be part of that in the future would be fantastic. But certainly there's no pressure from me for the next generation to come along and take over the family business. I've got a great team, and if they want to run it after me, then great. But I'm 45. I've probably got another 20 years
You're
in me yet.
Not.
So. I am. Seriously? I'm as old as that. Yes. Yeah. So not as rich as you though, John, so I can't retire just yet. So there's no pressure from me. They are, as you know, because you've met them both, they are very involved as well and feel passionate and share our passion with the sustainability element of our business. So they've come to Fully Charged. They've been asked to give presentations at Everything Electric from their side of things, and at EV Cafe stand at, God, where was it?
Carfest.
Carfest, yeah, that Carfest. Was the word I was struggling with. Yeah. So they are very, very proud of them that they are prepared to publicly speak, and they've grown up in this world where they have strong enough beliefs about what is the right thing to do, enough that they'll stand up and they'll put their name to it as well, as I have. So very proud.
Matt, I fully understand the struggle with the word car. You know, I can't say car very often either. It's always spelled V-A-N for me. But Matt, that's one of the things that, I mean, you stand out obviously on your own merit, of course, but bringing your family along with you and seeing your kids involved in such a positive way has made me almost jealous. And I say that as a dad. You know, my kids have grown up, and we've had three kids, and two of them are in the army, or army and navy. And it's like, I've never done anything in the army or navy. So it's like, how did that happen? And my daughter, she is possibly a little bit salesy. So there's every chance that she's got a little bit of the old man in her. But I just look at the way that you've brought your kids up. And what would you say to any parent, somebody like me with young kids, how have you positively engaged your kids? What would you put the secret down to for someone considering that?
So our family, with our girls, we've been always have been extremely close. We talk about everything. When we started this project. It was back in 2018. They were eight. We started Cleve Levy with a close friend of ours who is our sales director now, and he has twins of the same age. So we kind of treated it as a family fun outing where they come along with their mates. They were all at school together. So the four kids, as it was, the two sets of twins that we have within the business, would just come to these events and have free roam. So it was cool for them to go around these events and meet people and know that they would be in a safe space. I mean, when they were eight, obviously they would go around chaperoned by one of the parents. But as they've grown up and been really involved with Everything Electric, I mean, our daughters could walk into Everything Electric now, no people on the team, no Robert, no Maddie, whoever else is Imogen, all of the guys on the team, and go up to them and say, yeah, I'm one of the Cleveleys, do you want a hand with something? And so they've kind of just grown up into it. We've always spoken to them about how important it is and the important role that plays in the family business. So I think they've just grown up as it's been part of their world. And they don't really know anything different. And if you tell a teenager to do something, they're not going to do it. But if you if they grow up in a place where it's the norm and it's what you do, then it becomes the norm and they're happy to be involved with it. We've never forced them to do anything that they don't want to do, but they were very excited about coming to Car Fest and being involved in trying to get other teenagers to be involved, their peers. And they do it at school as well. They're forever talking about electric vehicles and sustainability, and it's just part of their life.
It's fantastic. It's so encouraging, honestly. I mean, so you'd be forgiven, and if you're listening in, you'd be forgiven for thinking that this is the model family, that, you know, in modern society, sustainable, good family ethic, family business. Please, Matt, tell me and save us from our doubts that things have gone wrong, things have been tough, things have been challenges. What are the challenges? Not necessarily those personal in the family kind of ones, but what are the challenges that you face? It must be difficult some days, right? There must be challenges that have formed and shaped you. Tell us about those.
I think any business owner has challenges. Growing a business is not hard. Growing two at the same time, so growing motors and growing EV at the same time, and finding and picking the point where they overlap enough to sort of cross them and make them one has been a big challenge. So in 2018, we clearly defined, we had customers with electric vehicles that were coming to the same place as ICE owners that were coming to Cleveley Motors. Now, that in itself wasn't a problem, and we had two separate invoicing systems. When we changed it in 2023, so after 5 years, we changed it. So everything workshop comes through Motors, and we've changed the logo of Cleveley Motors to reflect that. So luckily, for anyone with OCD, EV is in the middle of my name. So we've rebranded the traditional business, still with the 1962 bit on there to show the heritage and things like that. But it also shows that we've got a newer element. So if you want your car repaired, you bring it to Cleveland Motors. And this is now what I'm trying to educate our customers about. And we promote to a wider audience as well that if you want car repairs, we want the Cleveley name to be synonymous with that. And if you want electric vehicle purchasing used cars, then you go to Cleveley Electric Vehicles, which exists as a business, as a car sales business and a part sales business as well. So it sells parts. We've got a best part of £250,000 worth of stock of EV components that the workshop needs, but other workshops need as well. So there's a web shop that provide a mail order service for electric vehicle components, because the aftermarket as it is as such does not supply vehicle components for EVs, and garages are struggling to repair them. So I've sort of been working on that as well, in order to be able to educate our whole industry about the need for EV repairs in it. And so that was one of the biggest hurdles that I first had to get over. We were getting cars and customers coming to us in 2018. So if you had a Model S in 2018, a Tesla Model S, and we MOT'd it and we failed it on a suspension arm, which is quite common, we didn't have the parts in stock and we didn't have the parts available to us. We'd have to send you away with a failure sheet because we couldn't fix it. Now, after that happened twice, that became unacceptable to me. And so we would buy off of Tesla the components we needed, but everyone knows Tesla are a pain in the neck to deal with. So we would buy a few at a time. And then this is ridiculous. We're buying them in. Tesla will only sell them at full retail. We're charging more than Tesla has to because we need to make margins as a business. So there's got to be some aftermarket components somewhere in the world. There wasn't anything in the UK. So I reached out to the company that we now use. And they were heavily involved in EV parts in Scandinavia, especially Norway. That's their biggest market. It's the biggest EV market in the world. So I reached out to them and become their UK importer, the first company in the UK to import their products. That was something I never expected to be doing, but we are an importer now. So we import in huge quantities. I saw €10,000 go out of our account this morning just to maintain our stock levels here. And that stock goes into our mobile business that I haven't mentioned as yet, where we are traveling up and down the country as well, servicing electric vehicles at people's workplaces and homes. So I said at the start of this, it's hard keeping one business going. I've got three that I've got to constantly be on top of and deal with the challenges that come. But isn't that part of the fun of owning a business, that you deal with the challenges and you run with it?
So I started out by saying, Matt, encourage us to say it's not all sunshine and rainbows, but clearly it is, because every challenge seems to be turning into a revenue stream and an opportunity and a new business. He's got a full head of hair. He looks young. He's got a beautiful family. Right, I'm done with this podcast. I'm leaving it to you, John. It's too depressing for me.
We can make it dark if you want that. As a person, I've had challenges. I mean, it is really hard balancing all those three up. And I've had to give up personal things that I like to do because work all encompassing. That I've got regrets over not spending enough time with my kids. And one of the regrets is that my kids have had to come to those events. Although it's just, sustainable events, you take a 8 to 14, 15-year-old to an event like that, and you say you're going to be ill all weekend, you're not going to be able to go to your friend's birthday parties and socialize with them because mum and dad have got to go to these things at a weekend, then you end up with tears and tantrums and problem charges and the sat behind you in your stand of a weekend whilst you're talking to the public and they're crying or fighting in the corner because they don't want to be there. So, or being here late at night having to find a fix for something because you've got a full diary the next day. So there are lots of challenges in running any business, but ultimately I see it as my mission just to make it happen and make it work. So got to stay positive.
And you do. And I think that's I've known of you for probably 15 years, but only had the joy of meeting you latterly. And everybody that speaks of you says what a nice human being you are. There's the technical stuff that you do, and you're better than anybody else in the industry, as far as I'm concerned, at consistently delivering the service that you do. But the standout quality is you're a lovely man. How do you retain that kindness and generosity of spirit when, let's be honest, the muck hits the fan some days, but you've always got time for people, you always have a conversation, and you make them feel special?
Thank you to start with. That's hugely humbling, and you probably see me blushing. but I don't there's no place in the world for nastiness. There's enough horrible things going on anyway. So what we're talking about here is our work. It's a job and we're providing a service. So first and foremost, we've got to do our job as professionally as possible. And some days we'll get that wrong and we'll upset people. And it's our job, or my job especially, to turn around and explain what has gone wrong, because it's never deliberate. Accidents happen and things don't always go right. So to explain why, apologize and make things right. Go down the line of burying your head in the sand, ignoring problems, trying to hide them, lying. What's the saying? Let the truth find you out, or something like that. It's not worth it. And my granddad instilled these core values into me, and they are strongly retained throughout our group now. So the three businesses, the core values of the businesses and the whole group is that we provide the best possible customer service, the highest quality workmanship that we can, and that we only run at the highest of standards, and anything else is not accepted. So mistakes happen. You deal with them, and that's what needs to be the right thing to do. And I just try and live my life and my home life and my personal the work life by doing the right thing. And I think everyone should.
I just love the way you sit there, and when you talk about your granddad, there was a smile came across your face, and your values. And was he a very special person in your life, or were you unable to spend too much time with him?
No, he was a very special person in my life. Yeah, he died 17, 18 years ago. So a huge regret is he never got to meet my daughters. He was a twin himself, which is where it came in through the bloodline. But his brother didn't make it through the birth. So for him to have known that I had twins, he would have been absolutely over the moon. And he doted on all of his grandkids. But it felt like he especially put an arm around me when I was younger and helped me with developing my mechanical skills. I didn't want to be a mechanic all the way through school. I wanted to be a journalist. I realized that I have more morals than that, and I like fixing things. So it wasn't until I passed my GCSEs and that summer that I realized, yeah, I think going into the family business would be the right thing for me to do. So he or my father never drove me to cars. My hobby since I was 12 was to race cars. We were involved in autocross racing, which is racing cars on a dirt track. It's a very amateur sport, about the size of a running track. And I did that from when I was, I'd go with my dad when I was 10, 11. But all the way through, I started racing when I was 14 and I stopped 7, 8 years ago now. So I did that for a long time, and he loved the fact that my race car was at his house and that I would have a reason to go there every evening or every weekend and build the car, and he'd come and sit with me and so why are you doing that? Or how do you expect that to work? Or if you change that, then that'll be better. So it was really special. He was a special guy. And it's important that I carry his value through. I hold that very dear.
Can see that.
Honestly, I'm enjoying this conversation so much, because I think the value of family is not held in such high esteem anymore. It feels, maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, maybe disagree with it, but I think broadly speaking,
it feels like there's so much corporateness in the world that the smaller garages, well, not just garages, the smaller independent family businesses don't, it's harder for them to have that generational life anymore. Whereas in any war, in any industry, there's all sorts of businesses that are multi-generational, I think we all need to do our bit to make them survive, because the corporate world's a horrible one. I've never worked in it. I've always been independent, but I think certainly from our industry, all of the successful garages that I know are multi-generational family businesses that hold customer service key to their values. There are lots of places you can get your car repaired, but they don't care about you and your car. Whereas, speaking on behalf of the whole independent aftermarket, we care about our customers, and we're the ones that have got to face them at the end of the day, take their money so that we can continue to do our job. But if you can't stand there and look somebody in the eye and take their money knowing that you've done a good job for them, then yeah, that's a harsh place to be.
One of the things that you have done as a result of all of this experience is help, and I don't know if you were instrumental, but talk to us about the HEVRA, the Hybrid and Electric Vehicle Repair Association. I know that you've been heavily involved in that. Sorry?
Alliance. You got it so close. Yeah.
I almost got it right.
HEVRA's fantastic. So as we all, as early adopters, which we all were, we used to meet at car meets, didn't we? So with Pete Melville, who created HEVRA, him and I met at a EV meet, and we were just talking, oh, you're a technician? Yeah, I'm a technician. Oh, whoa, all right, okay, what are you trying to do? And he was creating HEVRA at that point, and I said, great, sign me up. That is brilliant. I want to know all about it. I want to support you. We'd become really good friends, and he would spend, because of our marketing and our extremely loyal customer base that I am hugely grateful for every day, we quickly became a very popular place for EV owners to take their cars. So Pete, although he lived, was it 2.5-hour, 3-hour journey from me, would make that journey at least once a week to come and see what vehicles we had on site and develop fixes together. We would be working on things. If it looked like it was going to run to the next day, he would stay at our house. He would sit at our family dinner table, and we would either have a component in front of us that we needed to work out what the fault was, or we'd be sat there working plans all night. But yeah, so you just fit in with our family for the evening. So I've supported HEVRA all the way through, and I think it's fantastic for our industry what he has done and what he is doing with it. The only unfortunate thing is that there are garages within the HEVRA network that say that they don't work on EVs, which I find mind-boggling, because it is gathering a really good reputation within EV owners' circles for the place to take your garages to, an EV a HEVRA workshop, take your garage to there. And, but hopefully that can turn a corner. That's just a marketing thing, and we can get these other independent garages just really running with EV. But yeah, HEVRA's great. Pete's a top guy, and HEVRA's, what they're doing is fantastic. And hopefully it continues for many years.
I think it's fair to say that your life is packed, Matt. There's not a lot of spare time, I can imagine. But work with me here. If you have a day where you haven't got the workshop to worry about, you haven't got your business to worry about, your kids are away, Claire's away, you have a day to yourself, how would you spend it?
So I've recently taken up, well, I say recently, 30 years ago, whilst I was racing as well, I started playing golf, because my stepdad played golf. So it would be a reason for him and I to spend the day together. So I had golf lessons, and I chose autocross racing over golf because I didn't have time for both. Claire, when I stopped autocross racing, that affected me mentally to not have an escape from work. I did get quite depressed, not that I want to make this conversation depressing, but clinically I became depressed and found it quite hard to find how I was going to get out of that kind of vicious cycle. Having hobbies is an important part of that. So for many years after my depression, I was treating work as a hobby. And then recently, and it was as early as March last year, Claire said, we can probably look at not stepping back from work, but not having it as our hobby anymore. So don't come home and continue with work emails and making other plans and doing other things. Just come home, be a dad and have another hobby. I mean, I enjoy playing football as well, but so have another hobby. And so in March last year, I took golf back up as my escape from things and my sort of just a little bit of downtime. So I play football once a week on a Wednesday evening and sometimes on a Sunday with a team. And I'll go to the driving range and whack 100 balls. It'll take an hour. I don't miss much of family life, but I come back a bit more empty headed, a bit more stress relieved. And I mean, you might be able to see it behind me, but there is a golf club in my office. So that if I'm on a call, I can just practice my swing or my grip or something. I've got some foam golf balls here, so I'll throw them against the wall. Just because I, as you could probably gather, I don't do anything half-hearted. Yeah. So I put myself into it completely, 100%. So I will. So that's my character flaw, if you like, that I'll throw myself in 100% to whatever I'm doing. So Claire's trying to now manage being a golf widow and me trying to escape to the golf course whenever I can. And yeah, next week I'm dragging her off to Gran Canaria for 4 days whilst I play golf for a couple of days. So of the four.
I love it. Matt Cleaveley, the only EV that's charged to 100% all the time.
All the time. So Matt, go on, just really ruin our day. What is your golf handicap?
Well, I don't have a handicap as yet. That's what I'm working on for this year. So I'm hoping it'll be high teens when I do put it in. The golf course that I'm local to is a mile down the road. It's got a short nine hole.
Right.
And I was two over after nine last week when I played. So
bloody hell.
I'm hoping that
quality.
I can...
Quality.
Yeah.
Is there anything you're rubbish at? Come on, you're making me sick now. Anything you are absolutely pants at. Have you ever discovered anything you can't do?
I'm desperately trying to think of something because I don't want to appear big-headed. But I'm a rubbish at maths. I can't knit. I can't cook. I can't cook. So I mean,
okay, but in all of this, I did pick up something, and forgive me for dialing into it, but and you can talk as much or as little about it as you like, but depression affects a lot of people. And we, John and I, are part of a WhatsApp group that kind of, you know, have as a neurodivergent people that are very much focused, but they battle. And as do many people with mental health, depression, these different things. You experienced what sounds like a clinical version of depression. Did you see the signs of that? Like, as you reflect back on it, can you see the signs of it? What were the things that were maybe triggers? And forgive me if you don't want to go there, that's absolutely fine. And how do you now kind of actively kind of keep away? And I guess it's these other hobbies and things like that. But do you mind talking to us a little bit about that?
No, I think it's really important that everyone talks about it as well, because everyone has their own internal dialogues and mental struggles. For me, it only became clear after reflecting on it that when I finished racing, so that was 8 years ago, I had nothing to occupy my mind. What that meant was that my mind was making its own things up to occupy itself. And one of which was, it just became that, you know, if nobody likes you, yeah, even your family don't like you, your wife is cheating on you, all that kind of stuff. So I sat on the sofa at home with my family one day, and Claire disappeared upstairs with her phone, and my wife, and my head's shouting, yeah, she's texting another bloke, she doesn't want to be anywhere near you, blah, blah, blah. I just burst into tears on the sofa. And
wow.
I didn't know what was going on, and I was really scared, really, really scared. And so I sort of went and listened to what Claire was doing. She just went to the toilet and took her phone. So It was just one of those things. And so what's up? And she could see I'd been crying, and so I just opened up to her. I mean, I'm very fortunate, as you could tell from this conversation, but I'm very fortunate. My wife is my best friend. She is there. We've been together for 27 years now. So I just opened up to her and said how I was feeling. I said, I don't know why I feel like this. I don't know what's going on, but this is how I feel. And it allowed me the space that I didn't have to hide anything. We could then deal with it together. But it didn't just go away like that. It then manifested itself to, you know, I'd go into my own business and people would be talking in pairs, and I think they're talking about me. So I'd get a lot of paranoia. It led on to social anxiety. I remember during that time, one of the hardest things was we said we would go to our friend's 50th birthday party that she had at the Grand National. You ever been anywhere like the Grand National with social anxiety? It was hell on earth, absolute hell on earth. And it helped having to be there. Because I saw, well, I know my limits, I can do it. And I went to the doctors, and the doctors were fine, but they just drugs at you. And one day of taking anxiety and depression medication was enough for me. And I stopped and I said, I need to sort this out in any way that I can. So self-help books like Chimp Paradox, and a few others like that. They're talking about the monkey in your head and the split personalities you had. Just understanding more about the human brain, the human mind, the human feelings was really, really important. And all of that came as we were sort of growing and developing the businesses. But when as Clevey Motors grew, I started to slip back into that kind of world as I was getting more and more staff here. And I found that I was trying to manage a business and run a business bigger than I'd ever worked in before. So once we got to 7-8 employees, I was really panicking. I was going home full of anxiety, waking at night, really struggling to sleep, dealing with all of the pressure that was going on, because I'm running a business bigger than I had no experience to be running a business of this size. So at that point, I thought I need business management training here. So in 2022, I did a business management training course with an independent local business school here. It's not an industry one, it was just a generic one. And that helped me massively mentally be able to cope with lots of things in my life, more than just business. And I was actually part of that training course yesterday. I can return to any of the masterclasses that they hold, which are day-long talks on various subjects within business and things. It focuses a lot on emotional intelligence and just so many functions that I found helpful for me as a person to be able to develop as a businessman, as a husband, and as a father. I would say that was probably the biggest thing that helped me cope mentally. And you said earlier, oh, nothing's a problem, everything you can cope with, because I did that course. Claire is currently going through that course. It's taken her 3 years to build up the courage and the self-confidence to turn around and say, she can see the good that course did for me, so she's prepared to do it. And 6 months into the course, halfway through the course, I can see a change in her already. I can see her personal confidence growing within the business, and also having the capacity just to aerial view over things. And it's a really important skill to learn for anybody. So because things can feel so pressurized when you're in that bubble and you think, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to do that. If you just take 5 minutes to just step out and view that bubble from above, whether that bubble is a personal life problem or whether it's a business problem, and just like, okay, well, everything needs a solution. So find that solution. And that's what I now spend a lot of time doing, is just reflecting and understanding any problem that faces me.
Brilliant. Matt, I don't know that anybody could have articulated that better. Thank you. It's so important, I think, for everybody, all of us, to just understand that because we see a successful man, successful husband, successful father, successful businessman, three businesses, that we can be forgiven and genuinely a really nice and very personable person that will command the room and engage with people and give their time so freely and generously, but to understand sometimes that there's a backdrop, there's a something that, you know, that make us the people that we are out front, of course, but also perhaps it gives us empathy, perhaps it does those sorts of things, makes us vulnerable, human, that kind of stuff. But Matt, thank you. It's just so kind of you to share of that as well.
It's really important, and thank you for giving me the platform to be able to say that, because I don't think on any podcast that I've done I opened up quite as much as I have to you two today. And if you interviewed my mum and said, the person that is here now, did you ever think he'd be like that when he was a kid? Because I was a leg hugging mummy's boy who couldn't go to the school and do things. I was so anxious about stuff, and I grew up so shy, so quiet. To it was only, I mean, I thank Robert as well, Robert Llewellyn. So when he first said to me, I think it was the second ever Fully Charged in 2019 at Silverstone, could I go and do a panel talk on that and talk about repairing EVs? And I said, yes. But when I got to that room, there were 800 people sat in that room wanting to listen to this panel talk.
Love it.
I didn't think I could do it. And I went out there and I did it. And I was buzzing. And that gave me so much confidence. I loved doing it. And it awoke a different person in me. And the moral of the story is that everybody has the capacity to be the person that they want to be. It's within you, within all of us. You've got to be brave. And since then, all of my business decisions have been brave. I don't make tons of money out of any of them. They are, in fact, all of them reinvest in themselves, just to make sure that they continue. So certainly with mobile, we're constantly reinvesting. But if you're brave, then good things happen.
I love that. So I have a moment in my life where I did something. I had to speak in front of a group of people. It's hard to give it the context right now in a short, but it was terrifying on many levels. And not least because I always struggled with sight reading, and I walked up and stood at the front. I was physically shaking from head to foot, and I was holding my little piece of paper, and I read what I had to read. And as I was walking back, so I'd come out of the audience, walked to the front, do my read, gone back. And as I was going back, people started clapping. And honestly, if I gave you the full context, you'd be like, what? How? Where? But anyway, it was one of those moments. And this sounds like your moment where, so I try and practice this mindset of anchoring, and you anchor a good moment in your life. And your Silverstone talk in front of 800 people that you walked off that stage buzzing, as you anchor. And so what I do is I just pinch my two fingers. So if I'm speaking, you'll often see, for people that are able to see it, my finger and, is it the forefinger? Is this a forefinger? I don't know. Anyway, so my finger and thumb pressed together. Yeah, I know that's the thumb. but pressed together because subliminally,
index
somewhere
finger?
In me. Is it index? Right, okay.
Pointer.
The pointer. The pointy finger. There we go. Very technical here on the EV Cafe Takeaway Podcast. I just hold that in. And because every time I speak, I have to breathe before I go up and speak. I have to, you know, because these are...
Oh, it's hugely nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
It's hugely nerve-wracking speaking in front of anyone. And everyone gets scared doing it. I've done it loads of times, but I still get scared doing it. But if you don't do something that scares you, you never grow and develop.
Yeah. You're not living, are you, really, unless you do that sort of thing?
No,
and not at all. On another point, you're not living if you've never wished a wish. With the Eevee Cafe magic wand, everybody. Ooh. There we go. So, Matt, this right here, we have a closing tradition on the Eevee Cafe podcast. If I do this, I can get my lightning bolt at the end of it. Anyway, that we pass to you the lightning bolt magic wand, and you get to wave it and have a wish. So here you go. There's okay. The magic wand.
If I'd actually known, I could have brought one in because our house are big Harry Potter fans. So we've got Harry Potter ones at home, so I could have brought a real wand in. But anyway, so...
This is a very special one. So you now have the ability to wave your magic wand and really do something. I mean, people could do anything, right? We've had lots of it. And I would encourage you and everybody, actually, just to go and look at all of our magic wands from last year. So we recently published a podcast. I think it was the first week of the year, John.
Indeed.
Yeah. Or the last week of the last year. But anyway, it's the magic wands. And there's about 30, 40, or maybe even 50. We might have done them all. And it's fabulous. It's great fun. But anyway... So no pressure. You've got to make it fun, interesting, engaging. No, you don't. Just tell us, what would you do?
Okay, so having been in the EV world for the last 8 years coming up longer, I want all of the hatred that comes up on our social medias, all of that FUD, just to be eradicated. And for anyone that hates EV, just to go, okay, well, it's not for me. I don't need to spread any nastiness that I'm not educated about. So I'm just going to let the people that want EVs have EVs, and I'm just going to shut up and be quiet, because we actively do a lot on our social media to promote EV adoption. And it's really hard, well, in fact, I don't anymore, to read the comments, because of the nastiness and negativity that goes on in them by people that have never driven an EV, that have never been in one, that don't like... Yeah, they've just chosen to believe the Daily Mail and similar publications.
Other papers
and
are available.
Articles and, yeah, things. Because that fits their agenda better. So... if we could eradicate all of the FUD in the world about EV and just let people get on with it, then the world would be a better place. On a serious note, I'm really quite scared for EV adoption because of what this current government is doing to put people off adopting EVs. This afternoon, I was supposed to have been meeting up with Ed Byrne, the Lib Dem leader, because I know our local Cheltenham MP. I was going to be part of a business round table where I would have had the opportunity to say to him, if you can get into power, please, can you bring back the good stuff that started the snowball of EV adoption and that Labour seemed to be trying to smash apart? And things like... was it EV vehicle, EV UK that Dan is working on?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to going to the meeting of that back end of January so that I feel like I'm representing the independent repair aftermarket. So looking forward to hearing what they will do to pick up the baton or continue EV adoption. Because it needs to happen. And everyone that drives them knows it's the right thing to do. And not just from a business's sake, we've got ICE vehicles, so we'll continue to look after cars. But EVs are better, so more people should be driving them.
Exactly. What a very well-made point. And I love the FUD, fear, uncertainty and doubt. They just kind of just lay that to one side. Just put that aside and then... just let us go and enjoy. Yeah.
If you don't want to drive an EV,
yeah,
don't. That's fine.
Don't.
But don't bitch about them.
Exactly. There you go. You heard it here first. Don't bitch about it.
Have a little story to tell you. It's very short. Whilst Matt was talking about his wish, I have a window in front of the other side of my screen and my camera. And it started to snow. And as it snowed, a robin came and sat outside my window. Now, my mother passed 12 years ago. And I've long held the view that when a robin comes to visit, it's my mum, just approving of whatever it is I'm doing. And the robin came, as you were saying about the be nice. If you haven't got a positive thing to say, go away and just have a think. And my mum approves of you, Matt. And that really hit me, because timing is all important. And so I'm going to take away from this, I need to be more Cleavely. And you remind me so much, your family description reminds me of something I hold very dear from my childhood, which was the Waltons. Mm. And that family, the Blue Ridge Mountains in mm-hmm. Virginia, and running a business. Times were not always easy. I remember the father had some serious challenges with his mental health at times, because he was looking at his business being taken away from him, his family not being able to do the things that they needed to do in their lives. And that gives me a warm and fuzzy, just as you have. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. That's really, really nice. Hopefully not a depressing end to the podcast, but a positive one where people can take away that they can change their circumstance if they're not happy with it. They can drive change in their life and they can make it happen if they try hard enough.
Very much so. This is a people business, and you get people. You get all the technology, you get the cars, the charging, all the difficult stuff. But the real challenge is always, for me, the people. And you get that bang on every time.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thank you.
And I will say this of you, Matt, that it's what's clear, and we haven't talked about it, and it's not necessary to really go into detail, but what is important to call out here is that it's very clear that you've not done this on your own. You've reflected on Claire's, you know, part in your life, your granddad's, your family, your business colleagues, Peter Melville, was it?
Yeah.
And many other people. This has been a collaborative effort. And I think the power of community and the power of collaboration really comes through in this story, but also that element of vulnerability, honesty with yourself and with your closest, your nearest and dearest, has really enabled you to be successful. And these are the things that I think, you know, because sometimes we feel like we're really trying hard, but maybe we're trying hard with the wrong things. And I think yours has been a really great example of trying, maybe sometimes with the wrong things, but then trying with the right things, investing in yourself, you know, the course that you did in 2022, Claire's now doing, and so on and so on. You a wonderful example of the ups and downs of business life, but coming through and being a wonderful and what's an exemplar? There you go, an exemplar human being. Thank you, Matt.
No, thank you, guys. I'm duff flushing because it's very nice to hear back, and it's I'm going to leave this reflecting proudly on what we've achieved as a team, and it's really important that anyone surrounds themselves with people that they trust, that they admire, that they can talk to. Communication's always been key about talking, and I will openly tell any of my guys any of the stories that they need to hear. We're all in this together. I couldn't do it without them, and I do count myself extremely fortunate at the position that we've got to with the whole group.
Well,
and I'll take the opportunity to thank anyone that's used our businesses and continue to support them.
Well, and I feel very fortunate to be sat right here talking to you right now with John. We reflect on this all of the time, that this is probably the greatest privilege of what we do as the EV Cafe, is just to have one-to-one conversations with wonderful people that really inspire and encourage and challenge us in the very best ways. So if you want more podcasts just like this, then head over to the EV Cafe website. Go and check them out. There are lots of great conversations, lots of honesty, lots of inspiration and lots of encouragement. And we've had some great times. Check out the Magic Wands. Listen to all last year's many brilliant and poignant wishes, some frivolous, but some poignant. And just in the same way that we've seen today, Matt, listen, we're going to put all your contacts in the details of the webinar. So Cleveley Motors, Cleveley EV, and we'll probably link Hevra, the Hybrid Electric Vehicle Repair Alliance. Ta-da! And get all of that out there so that you guys can get some warm glow as a result, because it sounds like if you want to do business on your EV, there's no one better than Cleveley EV. There you go, free advert.
Excellent. I'll clip that up and yeah, use it.
But that's it, guys. Have a great day, everybody, and we look forward to catching up with you next time.